Heyo, and welcome back to another episode of the Common Geeking Program, except this one's a little different. This is just a small little conversation that I'm going to have with...
Me? Jocelyn?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
You're supposed to introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, I'm Jocelyn. I literally have never had to do this before because I'm an editor.
But you listen to them all the time, you should know.
I just make things look pretty and sound pretty, okay?
Fair enough. And you may or may not know me already, but my name is Patrick Brem, and I will be your host for this conversation episode weird short thing. And today we're going to follow up my episode about Stranger Things with Stranger Things 2, the blockbuster smash sequel season to the original that, in my opinion, was way better than the first one. But... my opinion is not the only one that matters. So I guess I want to kick this off by asking what your opinions are on the second season versus the first season and what you think they did better or worse.
For the second season, I definitely think it was on par with the first season. I don't really want to say it was better, but there was definitely at least at the same level, which is really tough to do for a sequel or a second season. I really liked what they did with a lot of the characters. They really changed stuff up, took some risks. I had
what
an issue with... kind of risks?
Yeah.
Putting a senior in high school up with a, like, eighth grader to, like, defeat a Demodog.
That was lit, dude. Mom Steve is my favorite part
but that's
of
the thing.
Season.
It's like, that doesn't make sense. It shouldn't work. And it worked, and it was amazing, and I loved it. And he's on my Christmas tree right now, actually. But
the relationship between Dustin and Steve in this season is my favorite thing that they did.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of stuff that they did with interpersonal relationships and characters that were really, really awesome, and then stuff that was like, why did you do that?
Yeah, so on that note, let's talk about probably the biggest controversy that faced season two was the kiss at the end between Max and Lucas. So there was a big hubbub about the fact that Max did not want to do this kiss. It was not in the script, and the Duffer brothers decided that, hey, let's just throw it in here, even though she was uncomfortable about it.
Well, also, it wasn't the Duffer brothers, it was Millie.
It was Millie? I thought it was the Duffer brothers, and then Millie was just like, don't worry about it, it's not that bad. She was just trying to, like, help her out.
No, so, did you watch there was also a thing on Netflix, the After Stranger Things?
I only watched, like, two of the episodes. I didn't make it all the way through, which, that was honestly, like, one of my favorite parts, too, was watching like, Steve.
Yeah.
It was Steve, Charlie, or not Charlie, fucking... In real life, his name is Charlie, but in the show, his name is Jonathan.
I love Jonathan.
Fucking...
Nancy?
Nancy. I can't remember their in-show names, but I can remember their out-of-show names.
I can't remember the actor names, so it's fine.
She's actually dating Jonathan's person in real life. That was insane. I didn't realize that.
That's kind of what called it for me that they were going to end up becoming a thing in this season, is that always happens. But yeah, no, the thing with...
the kiss?
Mad Max. Yeah, Max.
Mad fucking Max.
She's amazing. First of all, first and foremost, she's amazing. Yep. But it's kind of like, I feel like the controversy got blown out a little bit out of proportion. And I'm a person who's like, I'm on the side of the victims in everything. And it just seemed like with the amount of people on set, including the fact that she was underage, so her parents kind of had a final say on everything. If she was really that uncomfortable, it probably wouldn't have actually been a thing. It's more of like a thing that they joke about after the fact that was probably taken very seriously in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the way that they talked about it in the After Stranger Things and just from like interviews and stuff, it seems like she was really nervous about it, as you should be for being that age and having to kiss in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it wasn't super, super like inappropriate considering all the other stuff going on right now.
It seems like they really wanted to take all the relationships in the show a little bit further, in the sense that we see a lot of development between Joyce and Hopper in not really like a romantic way, but in a definitely like they have a bond and they're looking out for each other and they care so much that the other one is like well off that they'll literally like put an entire map up in their house just to figure out where the other one is so that they can save them.
Yeah.
But on the other side, they also have the like Steve and Nancy realizing that they're not really supposed to be together. Nancy saying that they're pretending to be in love when she gets a little too drunk. That moment broke my heart, man. Because, like, I know Steve wasn't supposed to be the most likable guy in season one, but in season two, he really stepped it up, and he was just, like, my favorite part of the season. But then they also had Joyce's romantic life coming in with Bob, and
yeah,
him subsequently ruining Will's life. Like,
yeah, thank you for agreeing with me on that.
The worst possible advice, go just tell him to, like, step off, and then...
So
the monster fucking goes right inside Will and possesses him.
Literally, my friend and I, we watched through it. It's, like, a whole series that we're doing, and, like, we watched it drunk all in one go.
Nice.
No, it made sense. We had, like, a themed drink for every episode. It was really cool, but, like... We hated Bob from the beginning. We're like, I don't trust him. He's way too nice.
I thought he was going to be like a fucking spy or some shit, but...
Thank you! And like...
It's just because like you can't picture Sean fucking Astin in this small role that...
And just being this nice kind of dumb guy who means well, but is just really bad at giving advice. Yeah. That was not what I expected his character to be. Just like I didn't expect the guy... Sorry, there's a police siren.
Max's brother.
No, I didn't expect the doctor to be good.
I don't think he was helping Noah.
No, he was. He helped them all get out. He made sure that she got a birth certificate. He was like, as good as he could have been for the area that he worked in, which was
but he was still
surprising.
Still part of the fucking lab that just like
was trying to do better.
Was trying to do better, but
it was under
also,
new management.
Yeah, which again. We'll get back to the relationships a little later because there's other stuff, but the lab just becoming not really like a Dr. Brenner's experiment place, but more becoming like we need to contain this this portal
that,
that is now open different. And letting things like just pass between the realms. We need to just do that, and then like also needing to take care of everybody who got fucked over by the first shit that happened.
Yeah, like, that was it was really cool to see how they. Handled their mistakes and how they were trying to correct him, especially like how they weren't doing it with Barb and seeing how that helped Nancy. Yep. Not that I needed that kind of closure,
justice
but it was nice
for
her. It was nice for Nancy's character to get that closure and her parents.
Yeah, for sure. I just really like in the first season latched onto the whole. MK Ultra, like, using all these little kids to spy on the Russians for the Cold War. I latched onto that, and I wanted them to go more in-depth to that, which they didn't do, but they also set it up to, like, tell us that there are more that are still alive and in the world. So, like, when Millie Bobby Brown's character, 11, goes out and finds 8 in, like, Chicago somehow.
Yeah, that was...
And then becomes part of, like... This revenge rogue squad to go kill all the
so
people
much.
Who used to torture them in the laboratory. Like,
I hated that. I didn't hate it. Like, the episode was necessary.
Yeah.
It's great for setup for season three. Like, I loved all the growth. I just hated where it was in the season and the way that it was so isolated from the rest of the season.
But if you look at it, it had to fit there because Millie's character was just in this cabin. Not progressing her abilities at all, just like cooped up, going crazy. Hopper was there, like taking care of her, but he wasn't really looking out like for what she wanted. He was looking out for her safety. But like when you're a kid, you need to have fun. You need to see your friends. So she just had to get the fuck out of there. She had to go find her sister, who would be the only person to help her with these new powers and everything, like control them. And then she comes back at the end and totally kicks ass and saves them. Like,
no, I agree that it like
without
it
her,
was a
they
super necessary thing. Like I loved the actual like meanings behind the entire episode. It was just kind of like, oh, by the way, for those of you binging, yes, you'd literally just see Hopper in a lot of danger, and we're going to completely ignore everyone in Hawkins for this entire episode. If they had, like, interwoven it a little bit more with the previous episode, somehow, like, it's really tough because you don't want to take away from the immediacy and the, like, in the moment that was going on in the episode before it, but it was also, like, it just felt so shoehorned in where it was. So it was a weird mix for me.
I can see that.
I think it was a great narrative thing and a great setup for season three, but it was just kind of, it could have been handled better is my issue, which is why I don't think season two is better than season one.
Why? Just because of that one episode being shoehorned in there?
No, because it was, season one was so perfectly crafted, and they had issues with the season by trying to do new things. And I think that they could have done some of it a little bit better.
Fair enough. I don't know. I like it. It seemed like a nice little side quest. Like, this show is very heavily influenced by D&D and, like, geek culture in general.
Yes.
One of the best parts about playing D&D is, like, you don't have to stay with your party. You can go off and do whatever you want. And in that case, usually the dungeon master will say, all right, we're going to do, like, 5 turns of these guys, and then we'll do 5 turns of you. Or he'll straight up say, all right, you and me will just play on our own sometime until you get back with the group, and then, like, we'll just continue with the group. So it's really hard to fully flesh out a story like that and have them, like, constantly with each other. Let's go back a little bit to these relationships and talk more about Mom Steve. So,
I fucking love Mom Steve.
Mom Steve is the name given to Steve Harrington's character once he starts to, like, hang out with Dustin and all the kids, when Dustin decides that he's going to keep a mini demo.
Dart Gorgon. Was so cute.
Yeah, Dart. He names it Dart after one of the three musketeers, D'Artagnan.
Man, I love Dart.
He keeps Dart, and then Dart eats his cat, and then he realizes, okay, Dart's fucked up, I need to keep him in the basement now, and then...
Poor Muse.
He puts Rich it Muse. in the basement and calls Steve over because he's the only, like, adult person he can really trust.
He was the only one who would answer.
He's the only one who would answer, but, like, also he can't really ask his parents or anything like that because they don't understand what's happening. So he had to pick a somewhat adult person, even though Steve's still only in high school, but... he needed someone to help him, and it spawns this, like, brotherly love bromance kind of thing where Dustin finally has a role model to look up to, and as he's starting to get into, like, the girl vibe, he has this arguably very attractive dude teaching him how to do his hair, how to smile, how not to growl at people in a weird manner.
Loved Dustin. He was great.
And it culminates in the end when Steve drops him off at the dance, the ball, and nobody wants to dance with him. It was the saddest thing I have ever seen since Nancy said that she was pretending to be in love with Steve. Like,
but also, it was just, like, so weirdly full circle to have Nancy dance with Dustin.
I know.
And it was like,
the first episode when he goes up to offer her pizza, she just blows him up and slams the door. And it was oh my god, Nancy's finally nice.
Because I always was hoping they would come back to how, like, she used to be cool. She used to hang out with us. Like, they set that up in season one, and then that never, like, other than her helping fight, but, like, that was for Jonathan, let's be real. So it was just, like, a really weird thing that they chose to do. Sorry, I just had to shoot.
Side note, I absolutely loved when Jonathan and Nancy go talk to that private investigator guy, and they have to, like, stay at his place.
So, okay, that was so creepy.
It was very creepy.
Okay, that was having a full-grown man telling two high schoolers to have sex is worse than having
two kids kiss in a dance. He just said, share the bed. But instead, Jonathan implied
that they should do it.
Jonathan decided he was going to sleep on a couch instead, and Nancy and he spent the entire night thinking, maybe I should go make a move. And then Jonathan was about to make a move, and then didn't make a move. Then he goes back, and, like, it's all frustrated. And then he goes back, And then they ended up both walking out at the same time because they totally wanted to bang. They go bang. And then in the morning, the private investigator dude's making eggs just like with the biggest smile on his face. Just like, so, how was the bed? And then he ends up dropping some eggs on himself. He looks down, just goes, oops. And the two of them just start, like, that stifling wasn't their scripted. Laughter. It wasn't scripted. That was the best thing. After watching amazing. That, like, after the Stranger Things or more Stranger Things, whatever it's called. After Stranger Things and figuring out that wasn't scripted, I went back and watched that episode again. And I was just like, holy shit, this is the funniest thing I have ever seen in Stranger Things. Like, it was fantastic. Just everything about this season, it had me, like, on the verge of tears.
There were some great jokes this season. Laughing,
yeah. There were, I think they tried a little too hard with the kids' humor, just like It. So, Finn Wolfhard was also in It, and they made his character, like, the big mouth, shoddy, like, I'm gonna say stupid, inappropriate stuff, because I'm a little kid about to go through puberty. And I don't understand what sex is, so I'm just going to make jokes about it. He got on my nerves quite a lot in that movie, even though I still loved It. And I feel like they kind of didn't go as far as It in Stranger Things 2, but they also, like, started to try to add more, like, comic humor, which I think is just funny on its own, like, watching them all bicker and stuff, but I don't know.
Well, it was nice because part of it you could tell was, like, them genuinely just kind of spitballing off of each other and having fun in that type of way, which was very different. Is they really do let their actors kind of have a say, which is really nice and really refreshing. And, like, hearing that the kids are the reason that they're allowed to say bitchin' is, like, one of my favorite things. Like, they really did get to be more of themselves in this season, which was nice.
I agree. I guess that's mostly what I wanted to talk about. I don't know if there's anything that you want to talk about. We've still got like 5 minutes left.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, what do you think they're going to do with Billy next season?
Was he the older brother?
He was the very, very terrifying, very creepy older brother.
I really don't know what they're going to do because they kind of showed you for the longest time that he was an asshole. And I thought he was going to be bad too. Like supernaturally bad.
That would be weird.
Because I thought, in the beginning, when Max is in his car and he's just like, we're here, stuck because of you, I'm just like, is she like a fucking one of these kids who can do this mind control shit?
They literally hyped up their weird relationship so much that I was like, I expected it to be more than just adopted sibling, or like, step-siblings. Like, it was very weird.
But that's the beauty of it. They like, they can play that off so well and then just be like, nah, it was just totally normal. Like,
yeah, I guess. I just kind of wish they went more with it and did something like, why would you move to Hawkins, of all places,
from California? I just appreciated it because in Stranger Things, everything that's supposed to be super weird and crazy ends up being super weird and crazy, and you finally had one of the opposite way. Like, in real life, when crazy things happen, there's a normal explanation. We finally had something like that in the show. So it was I don't know. It was just a little sidewinder. Like, caught people off guard. I liked it.
That is a way that I haven't looked at it, which is definitely different.
Yeah.
I just kind of hope that going forward,
he's less of an asshole? Like, what?
Well, no. I want them to have more human, like, what's the word? Oh, God. Like, okay, so past two seasons, the big bad has been something kind of supernatural and something kind of otherworldly.
You still have the Brenner threat, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I kind of want Brenner to be a bigger thing next season, but it's just more real dangers that are human danger rather than, like, a Demogorgon would be kind of interesting to see them handle. Because you can't really keep doing this really big, giant supernatural thing every season. It'll kind of get stale.
I can feel that, but at the same time, I don't think you can fully, like, go away from having.
I'm not saying to get rid of it completely. Just have it be less of the big thing for the next season.
Yeah.
Have Brenner really be a bigger thing for the next season instead.
I would like to see more Brenner, and I would like to see more, like, CIA mind control shit. That would be really cool. And I would also like to see Billy you start to sympathize with him because you realize his dad's abusing him, but you also think he's an asshole because he's treating his sister like shit. I would like him to come to the realization that, hey, I'm being a piece of shit to my little sister. He doesn't necessarily need to be part of the gang and, like, help him out. It would be cool to have him and Steve together. And it was actually hinted at a little bit at the end when they're playing basketball. And Steve keeps getting beat by Billy. But Billy finally, instead of just, like, mocking him as King Steve, he finally decides to, like, give him some advice and help him get better. So it was kind of hinted at that Billy's turning, coming around a little bit.
I don't know. I don't want him to have a redemption arc, per se. I want to know more about them.
Yeah, but I'd just like to not see him treating Max like shit. It would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that, but in a perfect world, that's never going to happen.
At least, I don't know, he doesn't have to be benevolent to her to stop, like, terrorizing. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like he'll never stop terrorizing, true. It'll be an interesting dynamic to add into everything. But also, the one thing we didn't talk about when it comes to relationships is 8 and 11, and finding out that you can get different powers depending on who you are was kind of interesting.
That was.
Because now I'm like, okay, but what can everyone else do with their powers?
We gotta find everybody else first, too.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting, but I would like to just see an army of children knocking down Brenner's door, just beating the shit out of him with their minds. It would be insane.
Yeah, that would.
That also reminds me of a nice little dream I had a long time ago where I was, like, part of some weird Delta Force thing squad, and my job was to kill Stalin way back in the day, and I couldn't figure out how to do it, and then finally, like, in one of my missions, I found out that Stalin was afraid of children, so I had an army of children just kill him. It was great.
Dude, I have a lot of weird dreams.
I have a dream where, like, I find a dog that's just, like, abandoned, and I nurture it back to health, and it becomes my best friend. And this happens a lot. Like, I have this dream 3 or 4 times in my life. And the most recent time it happened, the dog ran away, and I woke up almost in tears.
Oh, no.
It was insane. And then I woke up, and I was just like, this is the dumbest thing that I should be crying at. It's not a real dog. But, like...
I have the weird dreams where, like, your teeth fall out and stuff.
Is that supposed to mean something?
Yeah, it does.
What's it supposed to mean?
Oh, it's like it's basically like you're losing a grip on your life or some stupid shit like that. You know, normal college.
I'm Googling this. I want to see exactly.
It's not anything good, I can tell you that. Although I do have dreams of losing
something important, or if you want to look at the Freudian, it's sexual repression.
I think you need to get
on that Tinder game.
Ugh, no thanks. Oh, and then I have some that, like, happen, like, part of it will happen in real life, or it'll be, like, a legitimate conversation that I'll just have, and then it'll happen in real life, but then something weird will happen later, like everyone gets murdered in your mall, which is...
Nice. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
You know, those kinds of things.
Pretty sick. But you know what gets us through those nights? The wonderful embrace of Stranger Things.
Stranger Things?
I love it. Every single time I'm feeling down, I either watch that or The Inbetweeners, because How I Met Your Mother is not on Netflix anymore, and I'm pissed.
Oh, no.
So.
I've been watching Arrested Development.
Arrested Development's good.
I had to edit that episode.
But it doesn't make me feel good about myself. Like,
true.
If I watch Stranger Things, it just makes me feel good because it's just like, look at all this cool stuff. It's such a good story and I care about these kids. If I watch The Inbetweeners, I'm just like, this is fucking hilarious. It's making me laugh. How I Met Your Mother is a little bit of a different beast. It's like, I can see myself a little bit in all the characters, but I also don't see their, like, I don't see myself entirely being a Ted, which makes me feel good about myself, because if I was a Ted, I don't think I'd be living a happy life.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to be an architect.
Have you watched Orphan Black?
No.
Dude, you'd like it.
Probably, it's right but up I just your alley. Don't have a lot of time. So, right now I'm waiting
for... Well, instead of rewatching something, watch that.
Yeah, but I don't know that Orphan Black's going to make me feel good. If I want to watch
something... Oh, it's not going to make you feel
exactly,
good, but it's something that you'll be intrigued at, okay?
I'm trying to watch things that make me feel good right now, okay?
I'm trying to give you a new Westworld, okay?
Fair enough. And if that's the case, it's going to take me like 6 months to watch Orphan Black, so be patient.
God damn it.
But once I did watch Westworld, it was great. I don't know.
Because I still have to watch Westworld.
Right now, I need to watch, like, a couple movies, because I promised my friend I would watch them. And then I gotta watch Black Mirror season 4 whenever that comes out. I really hope it's soon.
Yeah, that needs to come out.
Black Mirror is also one of my favorite Netflix shows right now. If you have not watched that, you should go watch that. But also watch Stranger Things too. We've gone a little bit over time here.
I mean, I'll edit stuff down.
But thank you all for listening. I am Pat Brehm again. You can check us out at commongeekingprogram.com. And if you have any questions for us, you can contact us on Facebook or go to our email, which is commongeekingprogram@gmail.com. Leave us a review on iTunes if you could. It would be greatly appreciated. Other than that, you can find us on SoundCloud and something else. Google Play Music, and this other weird podcast website that I've never heard about before. But yeah, like we're all over the place, and we would appreciate having some fan interaction. If you like us, then go like our Facebook page and do all that good stuff. We really enjoy hearing from people.
Totally.
So yeah. I just talked for quite a long time about that outro, but...
Yeah, you did.
I really love Stranger Things too, and that's what happens.
It's a good time. Mom Steve for the win.
Mom fucking Steve for life. Love him.
This Common Geeking Program interlude features Patrick Brehm and Jocelyn Barkenhagen discussing Stranger Things 2 as a follow-up to episode 33 of our podcast, Danger Cats. The podcast is sponsored by Sexual Repression. I'm going to let those two work that out. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by Jocelyn Barkenhagen and original music by Colin Ketchin. Now, we are still working on some stuff behind the scenes, so we've got a few more supplementary episodes planned about things like Samurai Jack, The Adventure Zone, and a couple of surprises. So stay tuned every week for more. We'll return to our geeky goodness soon, and thank you for listening to this.
That was work.
So shitty. And then once I got home with my groceries, I dropped all of my eggs on the floor and saved 4 of them. But that's not...
Ouch.
It's going to be a rough breakfast for the rest of the week.
Also, I just realized you're not wearing a shirt.
No. It's been a rough day, okay? It's too hot. And I don't want to fucking wear a shirt right now. Okay?
Okay. Sounds okay. Jeez. Fine.
Stressed out, Jocelyn. I don't need this from you, too.
I'm sorry.
Calm your shit.
I'll be calm.
After the eggs, I just did not need this personal attack.
Anyway. All right.